Chapter 20. Saturday, June 4th. Blomqvist spent 25 minutes on the Tunnelbana changing lines and going in different directions. He finally got off a bus at Slusen, jumped on the Katarina lift up to Mosebacke, and took a circuitous route to Fiskergarten 9. He had bought bread, milk and cheese at the mini-mart next to the county council building, and he put the groceries straight into the fridge. Then he turned on Salander's computer. After a moment's thought, he also turned on his Ericsson T10. He ignored his normal mobile, because he did not want to talk to anyone who was not involved in the Zalachenko story. He saw that he had missed a number of calls in the past 24 hours, 3 from Cortez, 2 from Ericsson, and several from Berger. First he called Cortez, who was in a café in Vasastad and had a few details to discuss, nothing urgent. Ericsson had only called, she told him, to keep in touch. Then he called Berger, whose line was busy. He opened the Yahoo group idiotic_table and found the final version of Salander's autobiographical statement. He smiled, printed out the document, and began to read it at once. Salander switched on her Palm Tungsten T3. She had spent an hour infiltrating and charting the intranet at SMP with the help of Berger's account. She had not tackled the Peter Fleming account because she did not need to have full administrator rights. What she was interested in was access to SMP's personnel files, and Berger's account had complete access to those. She fervently wished that Blomqvist had been kind enough to smuggle in her power book with a real keyboard and a 17-inch screen instead of only the handheld. She downloaded a list of everyone who worked at SMP and began to check them off. There were 223 employees, 82 of whom were women. She began by crossing off all the women. She did not exclude women on the grounds of their being incapable of such folly, but statistics showed that the absolute majority of people who harassed women were men. That left 141 individuals. Statistics also argued that the majority of poison pen artists were either teenagers or middle-aged. Since SMP did not have any teenagers on its staff, she drew an age curve and deleted everyone over 55 and under 25. That left 103. She thought for a moment. She did not have much time, maybe not even 24 hours. She made a snap decision. She eliminated all employees in distribution, advertising, the photo department, maintenance, and IT. She focused on a group of journalists and editorial staff, 48 men between the ages of 26 and 54. Then she heard the rattle of a set of keys. She turned off the palm and put it under the covers between her thighs. This would be her last Saturday lunch at Sahlgrenska. She took stock of the cabbage stew with resignation. After lunch she would not, she knew, be able to work undisturbed for a while. She put the palm in the recess behind the bedside table and waited, while 2 Eritrean women vacuumed the room and changed her bed linen. One of the women had regularly smuggled in a few Marlboro lights for Salander during the past month. She had also given her a lighter, now hidden behind the bedside table. Salander gratefully accepted 2 cigarettes, which she planned to smoke by the vent window during the night. Not until 2 p.m. was everything quiet again in her room. She took out the palm and connected to the net. She had intended to go straight back to SMP's administration, but she also had to deal with her own problems. She made her daily sweep, starting with the Yahoo group idiotic_table. She saw that Blomqvist had not uploaded anything new for 3 days, and wondered what he was working on. The son of a bitch is probably out screwing around with some bimbo with big boobs. She then proceeded to the Yahoo group the_knights, and checked whether Plague had added anything. He had not. Then she checked the hard drives of Ekstrom, some routine correspondence about the trial, and Teleborian. Every time she accessed Teleborian's hard drive, she felt as if her body temperature dropped a few degrees. She found that he had already written her forensic psychiatric report, even though he was obviously not supposed to write it until after he had been given the opportunity to examine her. He had brushed up his prose, but there was nothing much new. She downloaded the report and sent it off to idiotic_table. She checked Teleborian's emails from the past 24 hours, clicking through one after another. She almost missed the terse message, "Saturday, 3, at the Ring in Central Station, Jonas." Shit, Jonas. He was mentioned in a lot of correspondence with Teleborian, used a Hotmail account, not identified. Salander glanced at the digital clock on her bedside table. 2:28. She immediately pinged Blomqvist's ICQ. No response. Blomqvist printed out the 220 pages of the manuscript that were finished. Then he shut off the computer and sat down at Salander's kitchen table with a red pencil. He was pleased with the text, but there was still a gigantic, gaping hole. How could he find the remainder of the section? Erickson might be right. It might be impossible. He was running out of time. Salander swore in frustration and pinged Plague. He did not answer either. She looked again at the clock. 2:30. She sat on the edge of the bed and tried Cortez next, and then Erickson.
Saturday. Everybody's off work.
2:32. Then she tried to reach Berger.
No luck. I told her to go home. Shit.
2:33. She should be able to send a text message to Blomqvist's mobile, but it was tapped. She bit her lip. Finally, in desperation, she rang for the nurse.